Bethlehem, that town of David, lies in stony hills, awash with starlit skies. The clamour that yet fills each night-lit street is barely heard where hill and skyline meet. In solemn stillness, shepherds near the town gaze skyward, each face creased with awe-struck frown, at such a star that never was beheld since first mankind was made to walk the world. And how this beacon splits the lambent scene. Yet what, each shepherd wonders, does it mean? And as they marvel, eastern scholars bring from distant lands their homage to a king. God is light and weaves celestial ray, a star-spun wonder on this Saviour's day.
Thank you. We wanted to use this opportunity to share how God has been working in our lives. We wanted to show you the hope that he has brought us. And so we've asked some people to share their testimonies with us. And each person is going to show us how God has been working in their life through Jesus. It's not about us, but about what Christ has been doing through us and has done in our lives.
A round of applause for being willing to do that. Each one is a testimony of what God has done. As Melissa said at the beginning, it's about what God has done in our lives, what Jesus has done in our lives. And we'd love you to explore more about Jesus, to find out about him. We're going to run here at Emmanuel a course in the new year called Life Explored. It's a brand new course. We'd love you to come along on it. And we're going to show a little trailer on the screen.
So rejoices hearing such voices. Near to God's all the power
This reading is taken from the 11th chapter of the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah, verses 1 to 10. It's one of the many predictions of the arrival of Christ in the Old Testament, being the first books of the Bible. Isaiah 11, 1 to 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the
Well, first off, by the way, I'm Bart and I'm minister here at Emmanuel. First thing I'd like to say is a big thank you to everyone involved in this service, whether that's sort of behind the scenes. There's been a lot of planning going on over the last few months. Whether it's to the Berylands Bells, you were sounding wonderful. And thank you so much for singing and challenging us by singing in German, which was great. So thank you for doing that. To our choir as well. And to everyone involved, thank you so much for all that you have done. I'd like us just to think this evening for a few minutes about how Jesus can be the hope of the world. Because that is a big claim, isn't it? That a man born 2,000 miles away, 2,000 years ago, could be the hope of the whole world. How could that possibly be the case? Well, in order to think about that, I'd like us to look at Isaiah chapter 11 again. Pat just read that for us. Would you turn it up in your orders of service? Because then you can have a look and see where I'm directing you to. So on page 13 of the orders of service, you've got Isaiah 11 printed out for you. Now, Isaiah wrote this hundreds of years before Jesus was born, before the stable and the manger and the Mary and Joseph going on the donkey or camel or, well, it was a donkey, wasn't it? But before all that, hundreds of years before, Isaiah wrote these words. And it's as if Isaiah takes us, as we read this, to a future world. It's like he takes us in the TARDIS, if only he knew what that was. He takes us in the TARDIS and takes us to a future world. And it's a perfect world. And I want you to see what this perfect world looks like in Isaiah 11, because it's the world we all want. I'm only going to pick out a couple of things. There are many things that you could pick out from it. The first is that it's a world without injustice. You see that in verse 3. If you have a look on your order of service, it says, and he, oh, there's a king in this world. He is the one who brings about justice. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. This is a place of perfect justice. When it says he doesn't judge by what he sees or what he hears, that's not saying he ignores what's going on around him. It's just saying he doesn't have to rely on just what he sees or hears. He knows what's happened. If there's a jury, if you've ever been on a jury, you know you've got to go by just what you see and what you hear. You've kind of got to guess what actually happened. Not so this king. He knows exactly what happened and therefore can judge justly. And it says the poor and the needy, their needs are met. He judges for them. There is no injustice in this future world. But also there is perfect peace. And that's where you get this bit, this wonderful description. Verse 6 onwards, you see wolves and lambs and leopards and goats and calves and lions and children and cows and bears and so on, and even snakes are all in together, and they're not killing each other. And that's wonderful. It's a picture of perfect peace. Nothing is out there to get you. It is all perfect peace. And we know from elsewhere in the Bible, in another description of this perfect future world, that there won't be wars. There'll be peace between people. No wars, no people clambering over one another to get ahead in life. Just perfect peace. And therefore, no stress in this future world, no anxiety, and verse 9, no death. It says they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. There will be no death. What a perfect world that would be. But our problem is we come back in the TARDIS and we come back to our world. And we come out into our world, and I would think each one of us over this last year would have been only too aware of the fact that we are not in this world, this future world. We're in this present world, and this present world is one which is marked by injustice. Maybe you've had some injustice in your life that you're painfully aware of. Maybe you know those for whom there's been injustice. And we know, don't we, that the poor and the needy, if they don't have someone to fight for them, to shout for them, well, they often get ignored and neglected. And we know in this world that there isn't perfect peace. I mean, you've just got to watch Planet Earth 2 to see that there is not perfect peace. The animals don't get on together, do they? I mean, I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it, but the last one of Planet Earth 2, you've even got fish eating pigeons. The animals don't get on. And we don't get on. I mean, I don't mean you and me. I mean, we around the world don't get on, do we? There is war. People do trample over one another. And there is stress, and there is anxiety. And there is death. Just this last week, we went to a funeral of a friend of ours, and although in many ways it was very uplifting, yet it was sad. I mean, every funeral is tragically sad, isn't it? And that's the world we're in. So the question is, how do we go from this world that we're in now to the future world? How can that happen? After all, these verses in Isaiah 11, they're a promise from God. They are a promise. God's saying, I'm going to make this happen. But how? And the answer is, well, no prizes for guessing, but the answer is Jesus is the hope of the world. Okay, but how? How does Jesus get us from this world to that future world? Well, can I tell you what the answer is not before I tell you what the answer is? The answer is not that Jesus just came 2,000 years ago and said to us, try harder. That's not what happened. Now, actually, lots of people think that that's what Christianity is about. It is about God saying to us, for goodness sake, be good. Stop making a mess of the world. Try harder. But wonderfully, that is not Christianity. No, the answer is not try harder. To see what the answer is, would you have another look at Isaiah chapter 11? The answer is in verse 9. I'm going to read the whole verse, although the answer is in the second half. It says, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, just keep your eyes on that verse. I want you to notice the word for halfway through the verse. Now, the word for there, that is telling you and me the basis for this wonderful future world. Do you see that? It's sort of saying, look, all that has gone before, the perfect justice, the perfect peace, that happens because of what follows. And what follows is, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about someone having knowledge of someone, that doesn't mean to say they just know about them. It means that they're in relationship with them, that they know them personally. So what's this saying? It's saying, look, the foundation of this wonderful future world is the knowledge of the Lord, relationship with God. Now, that may surprise you. The Bible is saying, look, the root, the main thing that we desperately need is relationship with God. Mike Kane, who wrote a book called Real Life Jesus, it's a great book, really good little book, for introducing people to Jesus, and particularly to John's Gospel. At the beginning of this book, he gives a really helpful illustration, which I find helpful, I hope you do too. And the illustration is this. He says, there was a time when 40 pilot whales were stranded on Darlington Beach in Tasmania. 40 pilot whales. And they're helpless. If they don't get help, they're going to die. And this is what Mike Kane says about those whales. He says, the whale was made for the ocean. The ocean is the environment in which it is free to be a whale, to swim, to leap, to sing, to dive down 1,000 meters into the dark depths and catch squid with its built-in sonar. It is an awesome creature. On the beach, you can still see something of its power and its beauty, but your admiration is mixed with sadness as it thrashes its tail helplessly, as it lies there limp and wheezing. You know that this was not the life it was created for. A beached whale is a dead whale. The Bible teaches that as the whale was made for the ocean, men and women were made for God. He created us to enjoy his love and to reflect his ways on earth. Our relationship with him is, as it were, the environment in which we are free to be fully human. But as the whale has crashed out of the ocean, humankind has walked out on God. We thought that it would set us free, but it has left us stranded on the beach. You see, Mike Kane is saying that the Bible says that the reason why the world, the current world, is the way it is because we have walked out on God. But Jesus came. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away. He came so that we can know God. Being God, he was born on earth and walked around among us. And if you'd been there, you would have caught a glimpse of this wonderful future, perfect world. Because as he walked around, he helped the needy. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. But it was only a glimpse. Because although Jesus was going around doing these things, he said he'd come with a particular mission. He'd come to do something particular. He'd come to die. He'd come to die. But if Jesus came so that we could know God, how does him dying help us come to know God? Well, we need to realize that us walking out on God as mankind, us walking out on God, doesn't just strand us on a beach. It puts us in the dock. Because, you see, by walking out on God, we have committed cosmic treason. For rejecting God, for putting ourselves on the throne of the universe, we deserve God saying to us, I'm going to reject you. We deserve God's anger. And so, you see, we can't just stroll back into God's presence. We can't just turn up to God and say, God, I'm here. You've been waiting for me. Because our guilt is before us. But this is how Jesus is the hope of the world. He came so that we could know God. And to do that, he died in our place as our substitute, taking the anger that we deserve from God, so that it all landed on him when he died on the cross, so that those who accept Jesus, they can know that we're forgiven. And we can come and have a relationship with God. We can know God. And God is changing people, one person at a time. Wasn't it wonderful seeing those cardboard testimonies? People saying what God has been doing in their lives. And each one is because they have accepted Jesus and are now in a relationship with God. They have, as it were, dived back into the ocean. How about you? Jesus came 2,000 years ago as the hope of the world so that we could know God. He will come again to bring that future perfect world and to be there, not to face his anger, but to be in that wonderful world. We need to have accepted Jesus in this life. Now, I wonder how you would respond to that. Can I suggest, I would think that there are probably a whole load of different responses you might want to give. I would think at one end of the spectrum, there may well be some people here who are just saying, well, look, I only came here to support my wife, who is singing in the bells. And quite frankly, my response is, I'd quite like this to be over so that I can go through for the mulled wine and mince pies. Well, I've got good news for you. We're almost done. But I hope also that there are plenty of people here who are saying, you know what, I need to find out more about this. Maybe I'm not ready to make a commitment or to turn to Jesus yet, but I want to find out more. I hope if that's you, that you would come on, well, keep coming back to Emmanuel Church, 10:30 every Sunday morning. But do come on our Life Explored course. Now, I'd like us all to do something. Would you all... just, it's nothing embarrassing, don't worry about it. Would you grab the little card that was on your chair? Could you find it now? It's this one which says response card. On the side it says response card. And grab the pen that you had as well on your seat. Wonderful. Now, just while you're finding that, let me just explain what I'd like you to do. I'd like us all to write something on the card. Now, if you're down the end where you're saying, I just want to get to the mulled wine and mince pies. Please don't write your name or contact details. Just write something under other comments. Maybe something like, the service was fantastic, speaker was awesome, something like that. I don't want to tell you what to write, but something like that, okay? So I'd love you just to write something, okay? But if you want to know more about our Life Explored course, then do fill your name in, your contact, somewhere contacting you, and tick the box Life Explored course. Or we've also got a parenting evening coming up in January. It should be great fun, some speakers coming in to talk about parenting. If you'd like to come along to that, that should be a great evening as well, then do tick that box as well. All right, so no pressure to write your name or contact details, but the reason for getting everyone to do this is it makes it easy if you do want to respond, you don't feel like you're the only person doing it, all right? So if everyone could do it, I'm going to give you a moment now, you can mutter to yourselves as well, but please write something on there, and in a moment the stewards will come and will collect the cards. So I'll just give you a moment, please write something. Okay, I mean, no essays are required, so, don't worry, I'm not going to give you a mark for this. But maybe if the stewards would like to go around and if we could just get those cards in. So do pass them. Which way are you going, Cara? Are you coming down the middle? I think they're going to come down the middle. So if you could get all the cards to one end, then they can all go in. Just mention it. Do you think it needs more? Okay, I think we're pretty much done there. Thank you very much. Just if there are any more, just pass them to the end or give them to one of the stewards at the end. I'm almost done. Just a couple of other things to flag up. I should have said there is a flyer for the parenting evening on your chair if you'd like to take that away with you. If you want to bring others along as well, give it to a friend and come along to that as well. Last thing from me is we have heard that Jesus is the hope of the world. We'd love you to take home with you one of these little books. It is called How to Have a Happy Christmas. They're by the door as you leave. They're free. Just take one of them. If you're saying, actually, I'd love to respond to Jesus tonight. I really want to respond to him. There is actually at the back of this book a little prayer that you could pray. You could take it home, take some time to yourself maybe, and use that prayer yourself. But we'd love everyone to take one of these home because it explains a little bit more about Jesus and also how to have a happy Christmas as well. Well, we're going to sing our last carol. I love this carol. It is my favourite carol. So do turn the page. Thank you also, Berylands Bells, for singing the descants. This is the one, no pressure, but this is the one I'm looking forward to. Above all the others, this makes or breaks my Christmas. No pressure. It is a wonderful carol. It speaks of what I've been speaking of, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Let's stand and sing.